Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you. Welcome back to the podcast. You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, and I'm Lee Brown, and I do this podcast for the same reason you listen to it, because real estate is like a vaudeville sideshow, and we all stare at it waiting for what's going to come next. And every time it's a different act, and even if you think you knew what was going to happen, it never happens that way. And the best part is there's all these really cool humans involved, so you get to meet the best people when you're doing real estate and having these crazy stories. And so I'm going to introduce y'all to somebody who lives in a city where I would totally go live. We have Jeff Kahn from Lubbock, Texas with us today. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
And by the way, he's not only a young realtor, which y'all can tell by his voice, because you know they're kind of few and far between, but a growing segment, but he's a commercial realtor. And before you turn off the podcast, commercial real estate is not as dreadfully dull as you could imagine, even though it's not as exciting as residential real estate. And Jeff's here to explain to y'all why he's in commercial real estate and to give us some insights on it and how it can be interesting too. So Jeff, tell us how you landed in commercial. What did you do before this particular profession? A little bit of background on you.
This is my first profession. I've been doing this for 13 years. So my broker hired me while I was still finishing up college. His first response was actually, "You're too young." No, but we had continuing conversations where I convinced him that I was not too young. He brought me on. So all I've done is commercial. My personality is one that it's just numbers. It makes sense, and it shouldn't be an emotional experience when you're buying commercial real estate. And so commercial real estate fits my personality style very well. And I've been doing it for 13 years, specializing in office and industrial real estate.
All right. So tell me why there was a disconnect between your personality and commercial, at least in perception.
Residential agents will understand that client who walks into a house and says, "Oh my gosh, I hate the carpet." And they try to sympathize and say, "Oh, we can change that." We don't really have that in commercial. We have people that says, especially on the industrial side, "This is 10,000 square feet. Will it work?" "Yes, great. Let's write a contract." "Will it not work?" "Okay, great. Let's go find another one that will." So it's very cut and dry. And on the investment side is, does my return make sense? Yes, buy it. No, move on to something else.
So what makes commercial interesting then?
We deal with the same crazy people that residential has to deal with. There are personalities. And sometimes it's just much more complex because it's a multinational corporation or people with a lot of decision-making ability, but they don't want to make the decision. So we negotiate just like the residential does.
But you say it's really similar. How many naked people have you seen in commercial buildings?
None.
See, there's the difference, because I do love that about residential. I think every single realtor who's been in the business longer than about 5 years has encountered a naked person while they're being a professional realtor. And it's a little bit off-putting the first time, by the second time you're over it. But I was curious if that existed in commercial. But I guess if you did certain kinds of establishments, you might run into that. But I guess that's not really industrial.
Well, that's not the industrial that I focus on. My biggest fear is opening up a door and a homeless person being there who may be strung out on drugs, and we scare them while they're sleeping. That's the biggest fear that we have.
Yeah, they don't like to be scared. And I've scared off plenty of squatters and homeless in my time. And they're generally okay if they're awake and they see you coming. But, you know, it's kind of like babies. They go to sleep in a car carrier and they wake up in Target. It's got to be a little bit unnerving. You just never didn't know what happened when you woke up.
Here. I'm sure that's what happened when I opened the door and the light shines in, and they have some choice words and I have some choice words, because we both just scare each other a little bit.
Okay. So if you're dealing with a multinational corporation, so you've got people from different culture, and you open a building and find a homeless, angry squatter in there, is there a cultural divide or is there an understanding with something like that?
I think as real estate professionals, it's our job to maintain the situation, keep it calm. So my first thought is make sure everyone's safe and talk to the homeless person just like you would any other human, but explain that we're here to do business, and also explain to the client, you know, someone must have left a door open. Not a big deal. We'll take care of this. Give the homeless guy 10 bucks to go get some food and have some nourishment while we show the building.
I love that. That is the best way to handle it.
Yes. Absolutely. I always carry cash with me on showings for that instance, because that way the homeless person is more likely to give some respect and leave. And that way kind of diffuses the situation with the clients, and they just go ahead and look at the building.
And you're caring for your community by taking care of somebody who's having a rough day. So I love that.
It makes life a lot of fun, and you get to help people.
Oh, see, now I think that residential people who are dealing in foreclosure properties could take that lesson for themselves. I know that I sat here and just wrote a note because I believe we should be thinking about that when we deal with squatters in houses and sex traffickers, because, well, sex traffickers like to run more than squatters do, but having a little cash is a great idea. Okay, so when you're looking for property and somebody is curious, so how does Chick-fil-A land in an area?
How does Chick-fil-A land in an area? Well, first of all, Chick-fil-A does not choose, you don't choose Chick-fil-A, they choose you. And Chick-fil-A, the management, you don't just apply to be an owner. They have to choose you as an owner. And so they're very selective and they want to make sure that they're going into the right place, which has great access. And frankly, it's going to make the most money for them. And it is the Lord's chicken. So we should have them the 6 days a week that we're allowed to have it. They want to make sure that they can get people in and out and serve people well. And they're going to say, my pleasure every time you go. And that's the greatest thing ever. But they're going to look at demographics, average household income. They're going to look at who the neighbors are. They're probably not going to open up next to a strip club, but they'll open up next to a Hobby Lobby. And so everyone else likes it because those people are closed on Sundays. So there's lots of parking for everybody else on Sunday. They're just going to look.
Your commercial, where do you get those kind of demographics? Do you pull it for your clients or do they hire it independently? Or how do you help them as a professional? And I ask this because I know that our residential realtor friends who listen to this are not skilled with math and graphs, and they know that that's not their talent. And so they might be interested in finding the information. They don't know how to generate it. And then the public doesn't know. I mean, frankly, people get freaked out knowing that their phones are spying on them, that Siri was listening and suddenly showed them a pair of shoes. And they forget that the gathering is happening all the time. So if you live in Lubbock and you want to know if you live near where Chick-fil-A should be, how can people access that data? You got any insights for us?
Absolutely. For realtors, even residential realtors, you can go to RPR. On there, they have tons of reports. RPR is great for residential because it feeds through the MLS system. So you can pull all the demographics there in addition to all the other reports you fill. Now, commercial, we're a little weird. We're not all through the MLS system. We have separate systems. We can still get the demographic data through RPR, but through our designations, I'm a CCIM and a SIOR, have those designations, and we have access to some of those demographics because of those designations.
Which are a big deal. So if you're listening to this episode and you're some kind of a business owner and you need a commercial realtor, it actually does make a huge difference to have a CCIM. That is the hardest designation to get in all of real estate, and you have to have done a massive amount of business to qualify for it. And the SIORs are so rare, that's your shopping centers and industrials and those kind of people. There's not even one in Wyoming. Did you know that, Jeff? There's no SIRs in Wyoming.
Hey, Wyoming, call me. We'll refer it out. We'll work together.
Right. I mean, the whole population of the state's 550, but I'm fascinated that there's no SIORs there. But anyway, so let's say you're a normal person and you heard Jeff say RPR. That's the Realtor's Property Resource. It is a tool for realtors. So anybody that's wearing that big R on their jacket and they are bound by the code of ethics has access to some really cool slicing and dicing of info through the realtors. So if you're a normal person and you're interested in your zip code or your town, you should reach out to one of us because we're glad to share with you what we have. And I'll tell you, the coolest thing ever got added to the commercial side of Realtors Property Resource on August 1st. Did you see that? Oh yeah. They added the opportunity zones overlay. So if you're somebody who has money in the bank and you like good tax havens and really good tax advantages, opportunity zones are easily one of the best things we've seen in forever. And those layers are in commercial RPR. So if you're a residential realtor, you should reach out to your commercial partners and ask them questions, because knowing all these things, it sounds really dull and dry, but it's critical if you have money to spend, because you want to spend your money in really great places. And Jeff, you're giving cash to homeless guys, which means if you're in an area that's got that going on, it may be an opportunity zone, because the whole goal of development in those areas is to help disadvantaged communities get a leg up so that they can see great things happen for all members of those communities, which is so exciting. I don't think our people understand how exciting it is.
They do not. And they probably don't understand the massive amount of wealth that could be built tax-free as part of the opportunity zone. So there's a lot of opportunity for people. And if they can just be patient and not have to pull that money out immediately, they can make a lot of cash, or they can help their investors create some incredible wealth.
Yes. And for themselves too, because if your stuff went up during the stock market, you might want to pull off some of that wealth, because we see all of the hiccups that happen periodically in the stock market. You could put your stuff in something tangible like real estate, but you really need to talk to connected realtors, because all realtors are not created equal, even though we love them all. It's like Jesus loves everybody, but I'm his favorite. And so you should always talk to the favorites, because we are paying attention. And part of the reason Jeff knows so much is that he's one of the leaders in association life. And before you tune out because you think that's boring, you should know that in every community, you've got a whole bunch of realtors called an association. And we do things like go fuss with city council, town council, school boards. And Jeff, I'd love for you to tell our listeners what you did just this week. And by the way, we recorded this the last week of August in 2019. And so Jeff, with several of his realtor colleagues, who you might call competitors, what we call colleagues, did something critical on behalf of their entire community. What'd you do, Jeff?
Absolutely. The city of Lubbock is trying to grasp with the Airbnbs and the VRBOs, the short-term rentals. They're relatively new. We've had them in Lubbock for a while, but they wanted to put some ordinances in place that on the surface level sounds great, but when you dig into the details, one of the things they wanted to outlaw was social gatherings. I don't know about you, but when I go to an Airbnb with friends and family, it's to gather socially. So we wanted to make sure that that language was struck. They wanted to have a fee-based registration. All in all, it came down to they needed to collect the hotel occupancy tax. So our property management group and our local president, Vanessa Dirks, is a property manager. They rallied the troops, and we had a very succinct plan with multiple people involved, so city council didn't get tired of one person talking. And we just expressed politely how we disagreed. By the end of the meeting, they took out the social clause that they wanted to have in there. We still got registration on there, but it's not finalized. We're going to regroup and work with our issues mobilization group in the state of Texas so we can help fight this to make sure private property rights are protected.
Because reality is this, y'all. I mean, you could buy and sell property through a lot of really good people, but there's a difference when you have somebody that's paying attention to things that look really small. So you don't read the newspaper anymore. I mean, people don't read it. They glance through it. They glance through the headlines. They discount it because fake news and they're mad. And so they miss that things like this are happening, and it requires the attention of really dedicated professionals to make sure that it doesn't sneak through, because they weren't thinking about the long-term consequences. And you're in a college town, you're going to have family that comes in for parents' weekend and wants an Airbnb, and their social gathering might be their precious pumpkin and three of their friends, and they want to barbecue. And all it takes is one busybody neighbor to call it out if it becomes onerous regulation. So this is what realtors do, y'all. And it's why when you are listening to this, you're thinking, well, I don't know if that's happening in my area. You reach out to me or you reach out to Jeff, and we will tell you who's in your area, how you can get connected. And you notice what he said too. This wasn't one person going in there with an agenda. This was several people who went together on behalf of the thousands of realtors in Lubbock who are speaking on behalf of the thousands and thousands and thousands of property owners. There's no going back when bad regulations and bad legislation get passed. And I'll throw out Obamacare as an example. You don't have to be of any particular party to agree that it's a hot mess, and fixing it is going to be more painful than the breaking of it, which has been really painful for a lot of us that are out of pocket a lot of money now. But going backwards, can't go backwards. You have to figure it out going forward. And so we as realtors try to be the stopgap against stupidity, because our elected officials are not created equally either. So I got to ask you, because you're the past president of your realtors in Lubbock, what's the biggest surprise you found in serving a bunch of entrepreneurs?
The first one is I didn't realize how great my competitors that I now call friends are. You spend so much time with these people that you don't realize it's okay to be friends and share best practices with your colleagues. There's enough room at the top. So that was the biggest in your face. These are people that you can share life with and not just talk about association business. The other thing I learned is I'm always amazed, no matter whether it's Lubbock or other associations that I visit, how great the members are and how well they serve their community. We have people who very quietly donate a lot of money, donate a lot of time, or have organizations that will blow your mind of how well they serve while they're serving their family and serving their clients. So I'm always inspired to hear those people who are going above and beyond, not just running a successful business, but selling more than houses, doing more than houses, and serving their community.
Woo! What? Thank you for putting my hashtag in there. Look, y'all watch my hashtag more than houses in the last few years since I started that little thing. It's got a lot of impressions on social media because exactly as Jeff said, when people have a chance to tell you what they're doing and they're not even bragging about it, we're finally finding a way to tell our stories. It's jaw-dropping how much realtors do while they're unemployed every day because they have to get up and make it happen every day for buyers and sellers, and they have to do it well so they can do it again the next day. And I 100% agree with you. That was the best part of getting involved in volunteering is you find out that other people are generally pretty daggum awesome. And when you're working over there in a silo by yourself, you might not see it that way. So I'm so glad you said that. That makes my heart happy.
It makes serving in real estate worth it. This job and this career of real estate is very difficult sometimes, but having people that have been through it and can tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, it's okay, you'll get through this, or celebrate your successes is great.
Commercial is different. Real estate and residential, we go house, 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 house. Commercial, y'all tend to go 30,000 foot view. What's your trend spotting, market visioning?
Love to see a uniform platform, one platform, not multiple, that the National Association of Realtors could get behind, not boycotting anybody else, but having one where we could all be centrally located without having to pay a kidney every month to afford that service. So there are options out there that are very, very expensive, and it's at a point where it's pricing people out of the market. So we need to come together and have one platform. This having three platforms and letting the market decide is just bullshit, in my opinion. We need to do something about that.
We didn't say CoStar out loud, but I'm pretty sure that they have mafia out there that would kill all of us because it's six digits for my firm for CoStar, and that's ridiculously onerous. And it was bad enough when we had LoopNet and CoStar, but then they swallowed up LoopNet and we're basically being extorted for it. And I heard that they're owned by such big money that they're trying to stop the formation of a platform by the National Association of Realtors, and that the providers don't want to get in a fight with CoStar. So I think more of us are going to have to speak out against the bad business practices that exist because it's not right. And if we could share information with each other, it makes things better for our clients and for our communities and for the market. So I'm totally with you on that. And hopefully we'll continue to see some traction. I know that Bob Turner out of Memphis, Tennessee has worked his tail off trying to make some of this a reality. So we have to support the other volunteers among us that are focused on it and be a team.
Absolutely. And I think the important thing is CoStar is a very large company with seemingly unlimited resources. We can't focus on fighting CoStar. They're going to do their whole thing. We have to focus on the solutions that are best for us and leave them out of the conversation completely. Also, CoStar, please don't sue me.
And please don't come kill us because we know you have mobsters out there. And so now it's recorded. So if Jeff or I vanish, people will know.
That's right. But again, please don't kill us.
Yeah, I'm not ready for that, man. I got things to do. Okay, so Jeff, if anybody's looking for a commercial broker in Texas, specifically Lubbock or really anywhere that you could help them, maybe they got a multinational corporation or they need an SIOR and there's not one in Wyoming, how can they get a hold of you?
My email is jconn, that's J-C-O-N-N, at cbcworldwide.com. My cell phone number is 806-787-4779.
How come your website is not a con man?
Funny story, I sold prisons.
Shut up.
Yes, I have sold a prison before.
Nuh-uh.
When I was probably been 7 or 8 years. Someone called and said, hey, we have a prison to sell. We don't know what platform that goes under, which specialty. So I was the industrial specialist. And apparently at the time, I was the only industrial specialist in the world with the last name of Con. So when I would go in to pitch selling a prison, yeah, I would be the con man here to sell your prison.
And so freaking awesome.
It was an interesting experience for a few years.
So seriously, you need to buy that domain and point it to your site to where your client testimonials are and have the prison people write you a testimonial.
That would be awesome.
He is a con, but not a con man. I mean, there's so many marketing plays on this. If you were residential, I would take over right now, but commercial is slightly more ironed cufflinks, and so we have to behave. All right, so all of Jeff's information is in the show notes for this episode, because I know you people, y'all don't write anything down. You listen, and then you think you're absorbing it, and then a couple days later, you'll hear somebody say Lubbock, and you'll be like, hold up, and then you'll go to the show notes, and it's all good. So Jeff, first of all, thank you for your volunteer dedication to the members of your association. Thank you for agreeing to be part of the leadership work with the National Association of Realtors. Thank you for helping us press for another the platform on the commercial side so that we can stop having our skin given over in a pound of flesh to CoStar. And I wish you all the best of success going forward. And I'll see you at the next set of realtor meetings.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Lee.
All right, guys, if you have your own story to tell, and frankly, I don't know if anybody else ever sold a prison, so I dare you to raise your hand. You can hit me at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the social networks to be featured in a future episode of the podcast. Make sure you subscribe for more, and then we'll see you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.